The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we're here live at iHeart Studios on 1190 in Dallas, Texas, one of the greatest cities in this country that we live in. Wouldn't you agree, Ronaldo?
I definitely agree.
How long have you lived here?
I lived here 10 years.
10 years. Okay. Yeah. I've lived here 30 years and from New York. And so many memories. This town has been so good to me. I don't know where I want to start today. I've got so many little stories to tell, starting with, and I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I'm super ultra sensitive when it comes to animals and what they might be thinking or feeling. And so this morning I jumped in my car a little later than I had planned, but I've got the lawn guys coming today, so I had to pick up all the poop and all the stuff. And so I'm driving down my road, which from where my, it's not a very far, that far of a distance from my house from Barnes Bridge to Beltline. And then, you know, of course, then I come out from the east side of the Metroplex. But anyway, so I'm driving in my car, get almost to the light to turn to go get on Beltline. And I see this beautiful green lizard on my windshield. Okay. I'm like, oh, darn it. And I have a lot of these lizards on my property. I do. Uh-huh. And I talk to them all the time. Am I weird?
No.
I don't talk to the snakes. I just tell them, stay away from me. I'm like, hey there, go away. But so the little lizard, you know, I really have a connection with the lizards on my property. I just do. And I love talking to them when they appear, you know, when I'm sitting out in my little special little space that I sit outside my house on this place in my patio where I'm surrounded by palm trees and just shrubs. And it's just a beautiful little, it's my most special place. So I look and I'm like, oh, man. That lizard's on my car I took him from his home. Basically, he's lost. So I put my car in reverse and backed up all the way to my property, pulled onto my property. And by then he had gone down onto the hood. And then I just kind of flipped him into the grass. So he was back home because I could have done it at the end of my street. But I thought, what if he's got a wife and kids, or what if he's got brothers and sisters or whatever? And so I made the special effort to put the lizard back where he belonged. Am I crazy?
That was a very good deed. Some people might think so, but that was a very good deed you did.
Well, I feel a little crazy.
So you, Bernadette.
I know, right, Tina Burnett?
So you.
Oh, my gosh.
I probably would have done the same, though, because I didn't want that lizard to go flying off my hood and get smushed by another car.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I couldn't bear to have that on my conscience. And then I was like, he's got to go back home. You know, he's my homeboy, my home lizard. And one more story about animals. So because if anybody's out there, anybody that's out there listening, there's lots of people listening, but both here and in Southern California on KMET, ABC Talk, Talk News. But my dog Charlie, my recent rescue. So he's been coughing for about 3 days, and I'm
I'm like, oh man, does he have the coronavirus? You know, do they not know enough about it? But they say that that domesticated animals, like, you know, like dogs and cats and stuff, cannot get the coronavirus. So having said that, and we talked about it last week with Maura Davies. I talked about it with my veterinarian yesterday. But then I thought, okay, he's got something stuck in his throat because Charlie's always eating stuff. And, you know, that could be extremely painful. And I'm ashamed, actually, that I waited 3 days, but I just kept thinking it would clear up, you know. So I took him yesterday, yesterday being day three. So I guess I only waited 2 days in my defense. But so I took Charlie, and guess what it was, you guys? The same thing that we're all dealing with right now.
Allergies.
Yes.
Allergies.
It was allergies.
Was he coughing or sneezing? I don't think I've ever heard a dog cough.
Well, he had.
Coughs down.
Yes.
Kind of dog.
He had a dry cough, like that. Mm-hmm. Like he was trying to, you know, like a cat getting a fur ball out, except dog getting a spit ball out or something. I don't know. But it was just allergies. And Dr. Norris is such a good vet. You guys, if you're on the east side of town, or even if you're not, Dr. Jimmy Norris, he is one of the best veterinarians I have ever talked to. You know, of course, we're personal friends because he's been my vet for so many years. But the guy is just amazing. And you know, I was trying to save a little money. And I said, no, don't. If you don't think he was negative on heartworms, because, you know, I got him from a friend and he had a prior owner before me. And I think he came out of the Dallas Pound or something like that. But anyway, so out there. Anybody that has a dog that's coughing, just know that it's probably allergies. And Benadryl will work, Dr. Norris said, based on weight, that a little Benadryl will bring down inflammation and help with the inflammatory response to all the pollen and everything that's in the air. How's that?
It'll calm him down, too.
It'll calm him.
Oh, you know, a nice long nap.
I was telling Ronaldo, I remember the first time, my first experience of feeling like a little high or something was when I was 9 years old, because I had eczema really bad, and I would scratch and itch in the middle of the night to the point where I would wake up and there would be blood and skin under my nails. And so the doctor put me on Benadryl, and I remember I was 9 years old the first time my mother gave me Benadryl, and I was sitting there watching cartoons or laying there on the couch thinking, man, wow, this feels good. And I fell asleep and didn't scratch all night like a dog. So, oh my gosh, Tina, so good to have you on the air with us. You were on the air with us yesterday, and we'll get to the point of you being on the air, which is health benefits of sweating. Tina Burnett has been on the show for a very long time, and she has a bachelor's of kinesiology. She is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. She is certified in biomechanics, and she is part of the Aerobics and Fitness Association of America with over 30 years of experience in the fitness industry, teaching cardiovascular classes at several of Dallas's top studios and health clubs, as well as instructing and developing resistance training programs for individuals and the groups in the gym and in the home. She has also been named top female personal trainer in DFW by the Personal Trainers Hall of Fame. She's a great trainer, you guys, and a great person. You can find her on Instagram at TB Fitness Pro, or contact her at TBFitnessPro@gmail.com. Today, as I said, we're talking about the health benefits of sweating. So let's talk about this. I think this is so important. I broke a sweat this morning too, Tina. I've been on my spin bike every morning, breaking
good
a sweat.
For you.
Yep, every
good
morning. So, yep. So does everybody sweat?
You know, I was reading in this article that you sent me, and it talks about what there's actually a name for people, like, for not people that don't sweat. It's really, really unhealthy. When you don't sweat, it's called anhidrosis. I've never even heard of that, but it can result in life-threatening overheating. I used to have this client years ago that she was kind of overweight, and she had high blood pressure. And, I mean, she would work really hard, but she never sweated. And I thought it was just strange because I've never trained anybody that just didn't sweat, like not at all. I mean, and it wasn't because she wasn't working hard. It was just her body. And I didn't know at the time, it was years ago, I didn't know. You know, I figure that had something to do with her condition of health. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's not a good thing to sweat, to not be able to sweat, because you need to sweat to release all those toxins and chemicals, and, like, we're going to talk about bacterial cleansing, all the things that are benefits of sweating.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's people that just sweat barely doing anything. They're just sweaters,
right?
You know?
Yeah, do you know what determines how much we sweat?
I I mean, I personally don't know. I mean, there's just different conditions. I mean, the condition of sweating too much is called hyperhidrosis. And it says it can be caused by a number of conditions, including low blood sugar and nervous system or thyroid disorders. Mm-hmm. So that's for people that sweat too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, this article, was very eye-opening for me because, everybody sweats, and I love it when I get a good sweat on. It just makes me feel good. Then I take a good shower, and get clean, and it just feels good. But, I had no idea that the some of the health benefits, like physical exertion benefits from exercise, detox of heavy metals, elimination of chemicals, and as you said, bacterial cleansing, and it just goes on and on. BPA elimination, that's some really important stuff in the world that we live in if you want to stay healthy.
Yeah, and on the topic of BPA elimination, I don't know, a lot of people don't know what that is, but it's an industrial chemical, and it's mostly found in plastic. So when you get your plastic bottle of water, or buy your big flat of plastic bottles from Tom Thumb or wherever, one of the things that's important is that the bottles that are real weak and kind of squishy, that aren't real thick, strong plastic, those tend to have higher levels of BPA than bottles of water that where the bottle doesn't, it's a thicker, tougher plastic. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, the 365 brand from Whole Foods has that real flimsy plastic.
Yeah, and that's the worst kind, because here's the thing. If that got left out in the sun at any point, I can't tell you how many times I've driven by Tom Thumb, and I've, back where they're loading stuff off the trucks. And I remember one time I saw a whole stack of plastic water bottles just sitting in the sun. Causes that BPA to get into the water, then you drink it, and then you get it in your body.
Absolutely. And think about this. I remember back in the early days of Pizza Patron, when David Martinez, a dear friend of mine who he was our Pepsi delivery driver, and we became good friends. He actually came to work with us on the team. But when he would deliver the Pepsi and he would bring it in and put it in the back of the pizza shop, it was hot from just being in those trucks, because the trucks are not, of course they're not. They're not air conditioned. So those plastic bottles bake in those big trucks all day long. So if you're going to drink a soda, I say get it in glass, get it fresh from a tap or whatever. I don't even remember the last time I had a soda, but because it's...
Well, water, too. I mean, think about, you and I are big on, you're always drinking water out of a glass.
Yeah,
like you'll save your kombucha bottles and you'll put your water in there. Mm-hmm. And I have my Hydro Flask that I bought when I was living in Colorado, because I'll tell you, in Colorado, you don't see anybody walking around holding a plastic bottle of water. I mean, they're super, super good about, getting water and always using a Hydro Flask or some kind of a water, container that is not just buying the plastic, because it's just because of that reason. It's not only to not have all that going into the landfills, but all the plastic, but it's for, your health as well, because you can get that BPA in your system more if you're drinking water out of plastic bottles.
Yeah. Well, and in this article that we're covering from Sweating Benefits Beyond Body Temperature Regulation from Healthline.com, it says that although there are differing opinions on detoxification through sweat, a 2016 study in China indicated that the levels of most heavy metals were lower in those people who exercised regularly. And it goes on to say that heavy metals were found in the sweat of urine, with a higher concentration in the sweat, leading to a conclusion that, along with urinating, sweating is a potential method for the elimination of heavy metals.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Like I always say, when you sweat, you get rid of a lot of crud. I'm trying to say it nicely.
No, you really do. And then let's talk about, real quick before we go to break, about the bacterial cleansing.
Yeah, so there's, we all have bacteria in our bodies. That the glycoproteins in sweat bind to the bacteria and helps it remove it from the body. It's funny, and you think about this sweat smell, and it's not the sweat that it smells. Have you ever noticed that when I know for me, if I work out outside and I'm sweating, I stink. I feel like I stink. And when I'm working out in the gym, I'm sweating, but I'm not stinking. And I think a lot of times when you're outdoors, you have all the different things in the environment, and hormones play a role as well as far as, yeah. you know, that goes. But I think that you get released so many bacteria in your that's in your body, or maybe that's outside. I don't know, but it's just interesting how I it always is. Think when I come in from working out outside, I stink horribly. And when
You know what? I was laughing a minute ago because I was thinking of that SNL character. I can't think of the actress's name, but she's the one the Catholic girl that used to put her hands under her armpits and then put them up to her.
Yeah.
I'm her. I like the smell of my armpits.
Well, you know, I know this is weird. I don't know if I should even say this on the air, but
go ahead.
As I've gotten older, and I've talked to female friends of mine, that hormones play a huge role in like your underarm smell. Like I smell worse.
Yeah.
I get smellier more as I've gotten older, and I've heard it's a hormone thing. It's and the article talks a little bit about it. That hormones play a role in. If you smell when you sweat, and it's pretty much always just your armpits, you know.
I've got a really good joke about about hormones. Do you know how to make a hormone?
No.
Don't pay her. Oh my gosh, I've done that
once.
we just got to find some laughter in this situation. I've probably gone too far, but that's okay. You know what? Sometimes you just have to, but it's always great. So the takeaway on this, right, Tina, is that sweating is a natural function of your body. And when you exercise, it has numerous health benefits, such as helping clear your body of heavy metals, PCBs, and BPAs, right?
Yes.
All right.
And alcohol.
Oh, and alcohol.
Sweat it out.
All right.
Those alcohol toxins.
Well, that's good to know. Or maybe just don't drink that much alcohol, and then you won't have to worry about that a little bit.
I think these days people are drinking more than they normally do because, you know, it's so funny. Like we talked about yesterday, I see online so many people posting on social media their different drinking games they're playing and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, if you're going to do it, you got to sweat it out the next day.
Once in a while is cool, just not every day like that, you know? Just not
don't
every single day. Don't hit it hard
overboard.
Every day.
Right. No.
Always a pleasure, Tina Burnett. Miss you, sister. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for jumping on the air with us today.
All right. Bye.
All right, everyone. We're going to go to break. We've got Von Eaglin coming up. We're going to be talking about quarantine life as an extrovert and an introvert and cognitive bias. It's going to be a very interesting show. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Send a letter on a long summer day.
Ronaldo Davis, that was for you, Von Eaglin. I was listening to Prince on the way into work today. Oh my gosh, it's incredible. I still can't believe he's gone. What an incredible talent he was, right?
Yes, he was. He definitely was. So I miss him a lot.
Yeah, I do too. I really do. And I miss you. I do, having you in studio during this whole, you know, coronavirus thing. But you know, we're all going to get through it, aren't we?
Yes, we are. So it's not the same. I love seeing your smiling face, and I just can't do that nowadays. But, you know, hopefully, you know, this will all be over soon.
Yeah, I know. And how's Katricia? Katricia, the baby's due what? And how many weeks is she, or how many months is she?
So we're down to about 6 weeks and some change and counting. So,
whoa.
I just had a fire lit under me. I just saw a post of a friend of mine who had their baby 6 weeks early. So I said, oh, my gosh.
I had both of my babies 4 weeks early, right to the day. And this is so crazy. They both weighed the exact same amount, and they both were 4 weeks early. So, yeah. So
wow. Yeah, mine was a couple of weeks early, too.
Really?
That gives me a lot of anxiety.
So tell me how you feel. No, I'm joking. You're the shrink here. Von England is an excellent therapist, by the way. He is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. He is also a certified couple relationships trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues, anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few. He's also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department. His PhD research focuses on couple relationships dialogue, and you can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com or follow him on Instagram at Von Talks. We've got a couple of really interesting topics here today. We're going to start with quarantine life as an extrovert as opposed to an introvert. So what is at the very basic differences between an extrovert and an introvert, Von?
So, you know, whenever I'm meeting with clients, you know, I let them know that there are three basic things that I like to believe make up who you are. So the first thing I would say, and you've heard me kind of talk about this before, Bernadette, is that your genetics.
Okay.
So everyone has a different genetic predisposition to be something. So I could have a client who comes into my office who's prone to being depressed or prone to being an alcoholic or prone to being bipolar or, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. But everyone is wired a little bit differently, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then how you're raised. So, you know, your environment and your experiences have a lot to do with the things that go into your personality. So, for instance, if you're raised in an environment that's safe, healthy, and happy, and loving and warm, you know, versus someone who grows up in an environment that's chaotic or that has trauma in it, or, you know, so those mm-hmm, things are going to affect your personality. And then your choices. So again, how do you deal the cards that you're dealt? I mean, how do you, you know, play your hand that you're dealt in life? That has a lot to do with your personality. And just because somebody has a certain personality, it may manifest a little bit differently. So when we talk about introverts and extroverts, just keep that in mind. So, but by and large, extroverts recharge the battery by engaging in the external world and then communicating with other people. So
right.
A lot of people tend to think that, you know, an extrovert can't spend time for themselves.
Yeah.
Or an introvert, you know what I mean? Like, they can't be the life of the party. And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been so happy to see the lawn guy. Like, hey, how you doing? You know.
Yeah, in fact, Brendan, I believe we have the same personality profile. But yeah, we are definitely energized whenever we spend time with other people. And you know, for myself, I love going to the gym to work out. You know, this whole quarantine life has been a bit of a change for me because I'm an extrovert. Like, not getting that people time. Because the thing about it, with an extrovert, you know, I would say it like this. Not only is it that we are able to tolerate stimuli or outside stimuli, but we kind of need it
right.
to give us energy at times. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, absolutely. Well, you know, the first two that you talked about, genetics and how you're raised, is it's the age-old question of nature versus nurture.
Yeah, you're right. And the older I get, you know, the more I start to think that, you know, the nature has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you look at the research, I mean, kids, like, by the time they're like, 5 years old, 90% of their personality is already set in stone.
Well, yeah.
So,
because you say you become who you hang with, right? So, I mean, I haven't been hanging out with my parents for a long time, okay? And yet, sometimes I'll be walking through my house or I'll be responding to something and I'm like, oh my God, I've turned into my father. Or, oh my God, I've turned into my mother, right? How many people out there can relate to that?
Yep.
Yeah, I know I definitely can because I see my dad doing things. And this is kind of gross, Bernadette. I'm going to tell you a story. So growing up, my dad's country and my grandfather's country, they grew up on a farm picking cotton and chucking corn and all that kind of stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. raising cows. And they would they would eat cornbread and milk, almost like mm-hmm. cereal. So mm-hmm. have you ever done this before? I don't know if you have.
No, but Ronaldo's saying he has.
My grandmother has.
Oh, your grandmother.
Yeah, I've seen her do that.
Cornbread and milk.
Yeah, so buttermilk at that.
Cornbread and milk. There you go.
That sounds good.
Beautiful. So, you know, it is good. But so here's the gross part about it. So my dad says my grandfather, as soon as he would finish eating, I guess he would get thirsty and he would pour milk right in the bowl. And I'm like, that is the grossest thing because you have all the bits and grains and milk and like you're mixing all this stuff together. And then I started to see my dad do it. And then one day I was eating cornbread and milk. And what did I do? I said, I'm too lazy to go get a cup.
Well, yeah.
I need to pour some water right in my bowl and just drink it out the bowl like a dog. Or, you know what I mean?
Well,
but
no.
Something about that, you know, just anyways. But
why
genetics
would you
do play a role. You're definitely right in terms of like extroverts and introverts.
Yeah, but why would you dirty another bowl? You know, so keep it simple, right? Well, you know, this is an interesting, I wonder this, who fares well during a quarantine, or I should say, who fares better, an introvert or an extrovert?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, again, everybody's a little bit different, but an introvert, they can tend to be a little bit more private and withdrawn, and so they don't need as much external stimuli. And based on that, then they tend to fare a little bit better during the quarantine. Like my wife, she's fine. Like she doesn't need to go to work and interact with people and different things like that. However, I'm the person who's going to stir crazy in the house. Like, okay, I just need to get out. Can I go walk? I just want to go run the streets. I want to do something to get out. Maybe I don't know if I can't volunteer, but you know, I need to do something. I need to, interact with the outside world, objects, people, activities, like those things, you know, are going to be much more difficult, or the quarantine is going to be much more difficult for people who are extroverted versus those who are introverted. So,
okay, well, we're going to go to break here in just a minute, but before we do, what are some of the best tips for our listeners out there, to deal with this quarantine?
So one thing, especially for your extroverts, you're going to have to find something to look forward to. Find some things that you can do. Make a routine, definitely. So make a routine. Do some things that you have control over. And again, make a plan, because that plan is going to make you feel like you have more control. But figure out ways you can connect with people and in creative ways. That may be writing a letter to some people. That may be calling them. That may be doing things like, just do some things that will help you connect with people. And so you can get some of that energy back. But definitely make a plan to connect with people, as opposed to sitting at home being bored and feeling like I don't have any worth or I don't have any energy, things like that. So
there's always lots of work to do, at least around my house. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, more with Von Eaglin. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. To as much music in my house. I'm going to have to stop doing that and get my Sonos system fired up. Everyone, and I hope you do the same. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we have Von Eaglin on the line. If you're just now joining us, he is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. His counseling and I just screwed that up. I went to the wrong line. Okay. I was going to say, you're also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department. His PhD research focuses on couples, relationships, dialogue, and you can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com or follow him on Instagram at Von Talks. Today, we just finished talking about quarantine life as an extrovert and an introvert. Anything else you want to add to that before we go to cognitive bias?
So definitely it's going to be much more difficult for you as an extrovert. Just a couple of tips is that you probably want to learn how to show your creative side on like social media platforms so you can try to get some of that interaction. Again, I see a lot of people making TikTok much more popular nowadays, but, you know, making different types of videos or funny memes, different things like that.
Yeah.
You may want to also find a creative hobby. I know for myself, I did this masterclass thing online, so I'm trying to learn from all the experts in different fields. You may want to do something like reorganize your closet. You know, there may be a good opportunity to clean up your apartment or your condo or home or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Maybe check out Tumblr. There's all kinds of things you can do. And then also connect with yourself. Do yourself a favor. Get a journal. Start writing down your thoughts instead of chewing on someone else's ears. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Or,
and nature.
So, yeah. So definitely.
Yeah.
Nature. If you keep, if you can get out in nature, that's one of the best things you can do to, like, really, in fact, there's a spiritual component to that as well, at least I believe so,
yeah.
to really connect with yourself. So do some things as an extrovert that are going to help you make it through this quarantine mm-hmm. time, because we're all going through it at the same time. You're grieving the loss of a lot of things that you're not able to do in your life right now. So just, again, accept your new normal and just kind of move forward with a plan.
Yeah, and I say appreciate when you, yesterday, or actually it was the day before, I was sitting out in that little area that I was describing at the opening of the show where I see, you know, the lizards and just embrace nature. And there was, it was crazy. It was in just before sunset, and two mm-hmm. beautiful ducks, like the ones with the green heads with the ring around their neck.
Are
they mallard ducks? Is that what they're called?
I believe so. I'm not a duck hunter, but
I'm not a duck expert. But two beautiful ducks flew right over my porte within 10 feet above it. And it was just like, oh, my gosh. And they were quacking when they were flying. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And it excited me. It really excited me. But I'm an extrovert. So I love talking to animals. I'll talk to anybody.
Give them a voiceover. Hey, how are you doing today?
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's switch over here. Let's switch gears and talk about cognitive bias. I think we've talked about this before, but it seems a little complicated, but it really isn't. So, you know, let's talk mm-hmm. about this. Why? I guess it's what incompetent people do when they think they're competent, right?
So the thing about it is that a lot of times people who are the most incompetent actually think they're the most competent. And so it's kind of a weird thing. So what exactly is cognitive bias? And so it's that whenever you believe you know something when you don't actually know a lot about that particular subject.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, there were two psychologists. One's name was Dunning, his last name was Kruger. So they called it the Dunning-Kruger effect. And really what happens is that cognitive bias is everywhere, and it allows us to convince ourselves that we know something, even if we believe that it's true, when it's actually not the case inside of reality.
Mm-hmm.
If you can actually, like, think in your mind and just picture, like, a bell curve, you know, like on, you know, basic statistics. And so by and large, most people fit in the middle of a bell curve, and you have very few people that are on the outer edges. But most people tend to think they're in the upper portion or the upper echelon whenever they are learning something.
Okay, I have some really good questions for you. What's at the very root of this? What causes this type of delusion, if you will? And because that's to me, it seems like delusion.
Yeah.
But what's at the very root of it?
So a couple of things. One, it really helps us process information more quickly, and then it also helps us to make decisions more quickly. I'll give you an example. Let's say you don't know a lot about, I'll take it to race. Let's say you don't know a lot about black people. You walk in a garage, it's late at night, you look at somebody, and they look menacing. Well, because you have a cognitive bias, you may say, you know what, that person is probably not safe. Let me turn and walk the other direction. So
mm-hmm.
it's actually a way that we kind of protect ourselves, but it can also be, there's a flip side to it where it helps us distort our subjective reality. You know, I'll give you an example. Like most drivers, you like, if you ask them, you survey them, they're going to say, you know, yeah, I'm one of the better drivers on the road. But here's the thing. Statistically, you can, and like most people cannot fit on the side of being some of the best drivers on the road. Honestly, most people are actually in the middle, but they think they're actually one of the best mm-hmm. drivers on the road. You know, if you,
I am one of the best drivers on the road.
Well, Bernadette, I heard that time you said you took a dad 100 miles an hour on the road. I don't know about that.
Oh, there was nobody else around. I was just practicing my skills. I'm knocking on wood right now.
the thing about it is that this goes across a lot of industries. So you have people, you know, whenever they're assessing effective leadership, people who are raising children, people whenever they construct they're constructing an argument, they tend to think that, you know what, I believe I'm smarter than what I am. It's almost mm-hmm. like getting on Twitter or getting on social media. You read about, let's say, I don't know, climate change. You mm-hmm. read a few things from a few scientists on climate change, and all of a sudden you think you're an expert on climate change, and you're schooling everybody on what climate change is, even though, you know, you're not a scientist who studied climate change for the mm-hmm. last 20 years. But you think, you know, you have high confidence. The people who are the most incompetent tend to exhibit the highest confidence whenever it comes to something. I'll give you another example.
You bring up an interesting point. So does this start in childhood? Is this something that starts in childhood from maybe a child getting too much adulation?
Well, I would say that it's something that is innate within us. I would say because it's innate, yes, it does kind of start in childhood. You know, we have our own subjective reality anytime we interact with life, and you tend to view things through that particular lens. The more experiences that you have in life, the better you're able to, you know, process things that happen to you. Because I tend to think this, Bernadette, just my personal opinion, that whenever you have contrast or a reference point, then things become much more clear and you can see things more quickly. Like, let's say you had your first love in high school, Bernadette, and then you met a guy in college and you fell madly in love and you said, you know what? I thought that was love in high school, but now I have a new reference point. This is what love is. So that mm-hmm. contrast helps you bring perspective. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it does kind of, I do believe this kind of starts in, you know, in childhood. But again, we all have a different subjective reality. And then mm-hmm. all of these experiences will help us start to look at things a little bit differently. So, go ahead.
How much does ego or play in this, a part in this?
Well, you know, ego and then cognitive biases are a little bit different. So
the thing about it
is that your ego, usually with someone who has, let's say they have an overinflated ego, well, they tend to understand the limits of their boundaries. They can kind of see what's going on. But someone with cognitive biasness may not necessarily see that they're a low performer in the area. Mm-hmm. And so now, again, there is some overlap here, you know, because you have your ego and then you have people who have this cognitive bias. So by and large, people with cognitive biases and people with who have overinflated ego are going to have difficulty accepting criticism, and they tend to not show interest in self-improvement. Like, they don't want to get better. They just think that they're good, and they don't have any interest in actually getting information. I'll give you an example. Like, my brother, he's never played football in his life. In fact, he doesn't even throw a football all that well. Very fast, good athlete, but he's not the best football player in life. You know, I played football growing up all throughout high school. I played a little college ball. You know, I mean, I'm always talking to people about football, but whenever we argue about the Dallas Cowboys and what trade they should make in the defense stuff, he's going to argue me down about, you know, this is the best decision. I'm like, no, that is a horrible, like, why would you even think that? You don't even know what a cover two is on defense, man. Like, how do you understand? But yet he has the highest confidence, though, you know, and he's going to argue me for, like, you know, it could be 30 minutes. I'll just let him go. And I just think to myself, you don't know that you don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I hope he's not listening. well, you know, I mean, this, when you're talking about this, it's very interesting. I'm not sure if I know. I think I know a couple of people that maybe, you know, slant in this direction, you know, their personality type. Uh-huh. But how do you know definitively if someone really suffers from cognitive bias?
So when we're talking about definitively, you know, I mean, the people who are the best performers in any area, they tend to actually, you know, let's say you're Steph Curry and you've been working on basketball for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. You're going to judge yourself a little bit differently than someone who just started in basketball. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird, Bernadette, because the thing about it, you don't know that you don't know until you actually know, you mm-hmm. know. And so you rate some guys, they say, you know what, I bet I could, you know, score a point on Serena Williams, you know. And they're sitting on their television, they've never played tennis in their life. Or they say, you know what, they watch television, they say, you know what, that guy ran a 40 and 4.5, I bet I can run 40 and 4.5. And they get out there and they run like a 6.7, you know, or something mm-hmm. like that. You know, like, they're just not that good, but they think they're good. And sometimes it is a little bit difficult to differentiate. Well, whether someone has a cognitive bias. Go ahead.
You just made me think of something else, and then we'll go to break after you answer. Yeah. Or maybe, you know what, I'll save it for after break, because I was wondering if a person can have cognitive bias in one part of their life but not in the rest of their life. So save that question till we go to break. You can answer it, and I know you will, effectively, when we come back. Von Eaglin, stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio.
Should know by the way you popped your car sideways, I don't want to last. It's the other kind of person that believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast. I guess I must be dumb, she had a pocket full of horses, Trojan and some of them.
Well, Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and Von Eaglin. He is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. His PhD research focuses on couples, relationships, dialogue, and you can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com or follow him on Instagram at Von Talks. Today, we're finishing up the show with talking about cognitive bias. Von, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Okay. All right, good.
Try not to be cognitive biased.
I know. I'm like freaked out. God, do I have this? You know, I always, whenever we talk about stuff, I always feel that way because I don't know. I just always want to do my best out there in this world that we live in. But let's recap quickly. What is cognitive bias?
So cognitive bias is a type of error in thinking that occurs like when people are interpreting or processing information in the world around them. And so the human brain is really powerful, but it has limitations. And so cognitive biasness simply allows us to try to simplify information whenever we're processing it, but it can have some pitfalls.
Well, and before we went to break, I asked you, can you have cognitive bias in one part of your life, but not in another?
The answer to that is yes, you know, but again, it does depend on your subjective reality and how it is you view things. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you've heard of the halo effect before, you know, which is like, you know, whenever you look at somebody because they have a physical attractiveness, you start to rate that person higher in other qualities of their life. Mm-hmm. That is a form of cognitive bias. Mm-hmm. So, and there are a lot of different types of cognitive biasness. But again, yes, it can be in one part of your life, but not necessarily as much in another part of your life. Here's another form. It's what we call confirmation biasness, where, you know, you have an existing set of beliefs, and then whenever something comes into your paradigm that is counter to that actual belief, you just discount it automatically, and because it doesn't line up with my belief system. Mm-hmm. And so that's a form of cognitive biasness. So there's also something where you start to, you know, like what's called availability heuristic cognitive bias. Is like the first thing comes to mind, and then all of a sudden you give it greater credence. Like, okay, this is what matters most, and you don't look at all the other data out there. So there's a lot of different types of cognitive biasness. But the thing about it is that there's a reason that we do it. Our brain is always trying to simplify things and make things very relatable and simple.
Yeah.
It is a way that we can protect ourselves. Well, you know what I mean? So like I said, go ahead.
No, it sounds like it's part of the human experience. I know that Ronaldo has a question for you.
Yeah, you had mentioned earlier about how people don't know that they don't know, right?
What, until they know, yeah.
So what is a easy and polite way to tell someone, hey, stop ahead, you don't really know what it is that you're talking about?
Well, you know, you got to kind of figure out, are you the fact check police, or are you the person who's going to take it, make it your responsibility to educate that person? Because the thing about it is that whenever people lack awareness and they don't know that they lack awareness, you know, you're going to have to make a decision as to how much are you going to try to help them understand that they lack awareness. And I always kind of go back to, like, you know, who's stupider, the person who's stupid and arguing, or the person who's arguing with the stupid person? You know what I'm saying? So it's
right.
And it's like, you know, like, are you doing yourself a favor, or are you going to be hitting your head up against a wall because the person just lacks awareness and they don't understand that they lack awareness? And sometimes that takes growth, that takes maturity, that takes development, that takes them looking at themselves. If anybody wants to look at it, you can look at what's called the Johari window. Just look it up online, J-O-H-A-R-I, Johari window. And it talks about the blind spot that we have, and that other people see our blind spot, but we don't always see our blind spot. And it's really important that we try to, you know, increase our emotional intelligence, understand how other people see us, understand how we see ourselves, understand, you know, I mean, just again, increase our emotional intelligence and get that blind spot taken care of, because again, all of us are going to lack awareness on some level. But it's really, if I had to give some tips, I would say you have to continue to learn and try to gain more awareness. You have to learn how to take criticism whenever people are giving you criticism. And then really it's about knowing your talents, you know, like know what you're good at and know what you're not good at.
That's
you know,
the only
and try to judge yourself.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish what you...
I would say, and just try to really judge yourself objectively.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm good at something or I'm not good at something, I would probably like to get a coach who would let me know, you know what, you know, you're a good basketball player, you know, or you need to work on your dribbling, or you need to work on this, you know, like those people who are higher, you know, and are at where I want to be, they could probably correct me in a way, but I have to be willing to accept that criticism and take that feedback.
Absolutely. Von Eaglin, we are out of time. Thank you so much. Can't wait to get you back in studio. Best of luck to you and Katricia. If that baby comes in the next couple of weeks before we talk again, take care of yourself. Everyone, thank you for listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. life. Get out there today and don't be contagiously biased. Be positively contagious.